Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's Easter weekend, March 26th and 27th, depending on when you're listening to this. If you listen to this on March 26th, for my running friends, you can listen to this and then drive over to Gilmanton. It's the first race of the Capital Era Race Series. And this year, we actually have 8 races. We've added an 8th race, a 10K race this summer that will be sponsored by Runner's Alley. So if you're listening to this on Saturday, March 26th at 9 a.m., you still have time to go over into Gilmanton, register, sign up for the Gilmanton Road Race. Even if you don't want to run the entire series, the Capital Era Race Series or cars, you can certainly do one race, maybe consider another, so on and so forth. So that's Saturday, March 26th. It is Easter weekend. We had a little return of winter this Monday. We had that little snowstorm. It wasn't really as bad as it was, you know, further south. But I think everybody's in the spring mode. And speaking of that, last week's show, we got rave reviews. We had the chief sales officer for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, Mike Ramshaw. And Mike talked about all of the different special events that go on at the Northeast Delta Dental Stadium. Many of the games after the game, we have the Atlas Fireworks, and of course we also have the Oral Health Challenge. We have determined that the thousands of the people that come to the New Hampshire Fisher Cats game and enjoy Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, many of those don't have dental coverage, and so it's very important that we get the oral health message out. So the partnership with the Fisher Cats has given us that great opportunity to get the oral health message out. If you're interested in buying some tickets for the Fisher Cats, just go on nhfishercats.com and you can get on their website, and both individual tickets as well as season tickets. And for my participating dentist colleagues and subscribers of Northeast Delta Dental, and if you have sons and daughters that visit the dentist, if they demonstrate that they brush and floss in between visits, they can actually earn tickets to the Fisher Cats game, and they get to go out on the field. So it's really cool. So in past shows, we've had Dr. Shannon Mills, we've had Dr. Mitch Caray, we've had Dr. Randy Tillman, and we've had Heather Brown, who's a registered dental hygienist, talking about health, oral wellness. So we've had many, many shows on oral health. And this weekend, we have a new colleague at Northeast Delta Dental, Dr. David Hamlin. David, thank you for joining me March 26th and 27th. I'm sure you have better things to do than spend your weekend with Tom Raffio and Northeast Delta Dental, considering that you're there during the week. But thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Tom. It's a good day, and I couldn't think of anything better I'd like to do with my time than sit here and discuss this subject.
Okay, so the subject today will be dry mouth and recognition and management of oral health impacts. But you have a very, very impressive background, and we're lucky to have you in New Hampshire. So tell us about your background and why you have recently relocated to New Hampshire. You have a tremendous background. So give us your impressive background.
Thank you, Tom. Well, many years ago, in deciding to come into the profession of dentistry, I knew that someday we were going to have an integration of the medical and the dental condition into a treatment of patients' needs. At that point, I knew that there was going to be challenges ahead that were going to transform dentistry, and I wanted to be part of the team that did that. As part of that, we know that evidence is part of the reasons why we make decisions and changes to our treatments, and I had the opportunity to participate pretty soundly in that endeavor. I've worked for the last 15 years in clinical trials industry, performing most of the consumer product-based therapies, evidence-based trials to see if if something worked better than what was currently being offered. As I was doing that kind of work, it appeared to me that there was going to be conditions that we were going to leave to the side of the road until we had some better therapy. Dry mouth was actually one of these conditions. As I was trying to qualify patients for instance, sensitivity trials, we would see more and more people who would have erosions around their teeth and decay that would not allow me to participate them in the trial. And I started seeing a trend, and my training kicked in that said, this is something that needs to be addressed. So I put myself to that task. New Hampshire just happened to be a place that I needed to come to in my life before, spending the rest of my days here. I really wanted to see what the Northeast had to offer besides the Philadelphia region. I had been there my whole life.
And you love New Hampshire, I know already.
I love it.
Before we get into the specifics of defining dry mouth, tell us about, you were the founder of something called the Contract Dental Evaluations as a research organization. Tell us what that's all about.
Contract Dental Evaluations is a standalone clinical trials CRO, which is a clinical research operation organization. We are FDA compliant, FDA regulated. To perform a variety of evidence-based trials for the consumer product and medical dental industries. So anything from a whitening system to a better toothpaste to a vaccine to a filling material could have been run through my trials over the last 15 years. We have over 3,000 patients of record and a full medical dental integration staff. So we have a number of nurses and physicians on call that support the dental team to produce evidence that can help make the claims when you see them on TV or in print ads more real.
How blessed that we have someone of your stature right here in New Hampshire. Now, you mentioned this whole medical dental integration before, again, we get into the dry mouth. Can you talk about, I know Dr. Shannon Mills, one of your colleagues back at the ranch at Northeast Delta Dental, we're really pushing getting, pediatricians and dentists to cooperate more. And of course, now there's knowledge that you really should get your child to the dentist by age one or when a tooth erupts. When my kids are young, it was like age four. And certainly when my parents didn't take me to the dentist until age four. So do you think there's been a good evolution of the medical dental integration, at least as far as medical schools and dental schools? And do you think in your empirical observations is better cooperation between the pediatricians and dentists?
There's a desire, Tom, but not enough actual integration occurring. In fact, interesting enough, a dental school at NYU recently had a nursing school integrate with their own site. So the NYU nursing school is now part of the dental school at NYU because the evidence was we're going to see more ambulatory patients walking through the dental office than we will a physician's office in the future. They want to head off disease. Just like you're taking a child to a pediatric office early and a pediatric dentist for assessment of their potential for caries, we need to address the entire patient throughout their lifespan. So there is always opportunity for more.
And like you say, it probably begins and ends at the med schools and dental schools. So hopefully we'll see that. And of course, the rising tide helps everybody. I know if a pediatrician sees an issue with the toddler's gums or teeth, obviously he or she is going to refer that toddler to the dentist. So it can only help both professions, right?
True. I just wish that we have more and more opportunity to show time with each other, not only in offices, but also at conferences. We need to intermix the sciences such that we're on the same page, which each patient's needs being the primary reason.
Great. Again, how blessed we are that you're right here in New Hampshire. So let's get back to the very specific topic. Why don't you slowly and in detail define exactly what we mean by dry mouth?
Well, we know that like blood in the body, saliva is an essential fluid in the mouth. And without it, most of us will realize how uncomfortable life can be, whether it's overnight or running a race, as you do often. You realize that saliva is an essential component.
And we'll be running later on this morning and did two last week. But go ahead. Saliva are very important.
Right. And it will protect the teeth when it's there in proper amounts, which means when it's not there in proper amounts, teeth and gums can take the ravages of what happens in our normal course of life from eating, speaking. It just can take a toll on those tissues. So without it, we really do find ourselves in a less desirable state of life condition.
And are we seeing more of this condition because more and more people are taking different types of prescription drugs for other issues, and that creates dry mouth?
Absolutely. In fact, the CDC says that 76% of adults over 60 are on at least one med, more than one med rather, and that 37% of those are more than five meds. You realize we see pillboxes all over the press and the TV stations to remind people to take their medications on time. Well, each one of those medications piled on top of each other create a dryness to the system because of the central nervous system side effects of these medications. It's an unavoidable situation for many people. Numbers range between 1 million really hardcore sufferers in the U.S. to over 35% of the population, depending on who you're looking at. Whose data.
And is there one, is it predominant one gender more than another, or is it equal?
Mostly female affected, but males can be just as impacted by these conditions. And there are a number of people that suffer autoimmune disorders outside of the CNS effects of drugs. Unfortunate people having lupus, scleroderma, rheumatoid arthritis, or one of the syndromes called Sjögren's, which unfortunately takes up to 7 years to properly diagnose.
7 years, wow. Now, you mentioned earlier the saliva obviously helps us with proper chewing and so forth. What about remineralizing teeth and buffering against, if we're drinking a soft drink or
absolutely,
something like that?
Absolutely, absolutely. The sugars that we find in our diets today have an impact on these teeth that are demonstrably different than what we faced in previous generations, whether it's high fructose sugar or just natural cane sugar. Without the buffering capacity of saliva, we are putting ourselves at an increasing risk. Yesterday, I reviewed a case that was unfortunate, a 40-year-old female with 26 teeth that are extracted now, and she's in dentures because of the lack of saliva and a truly lack of protection for her condition. That's a lifetime of suffering ahead. Dentures are not easy to work with.
And this was a 26-year-old woman.
A 40-year-old with 26 teeth extracted in one day.
Wow. That is really a sad case for sure. Boy. Okay. Dr. David Hamlin will return after commercial break with more on dry mouth and other oral health topics. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And with me is Dr. David Hamlin, one of my great colleagues at Northeast Delta Dental. We have some fantastic employees at Northeast Delta Dental, David being one of them. Of course, his colleague, Dr. Shannon Mills, has been on frequently. And as I mentioned on a couple shows, as well as on the Ken Kill show, we have acquired a company called the Previsor Corporation, which is really a software company, but it's software that we give to our participating dentists. And when you go in for a cleaning, the dental assistant or dental hygienist, depending on the process that the particular dental office uses, it could even be the front desk person, will load into software answers to a series of questions and measurements. And then depending on the what we call the previsor score, 3, 4, or 5 could entitle you to an additional cleaning. Some of us that have gum problems, some of us that are diabetic, if you're pregnant, maybe you need that third cleaning a year. As Shannon has explained on many times, the two cleanings per year, while certainly is a good proxy and a good benchmark, it's not really based on evidence. It's based on toothpaste companies in the 50s and 60s through commercials and print advertisements were trying to get people to go to the dentist twice a year, which again is a good benchmark. And still to this day, most dental plans cover 2 visits per year and 2 cleanings a year. But the exciting thing about the Previsor software is if you need that third cleaning, if you need adult fluoride varnish, if you need tobacco cessation counseling, if you need nutrition counseling through this program with Provisor, and we brand it in New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont as Health and Rural Wellness, you can get those additional services. And if your dentist is registered with Provisor and how and you're an employee of an employer who is signed up for HA, which is most of our groups, you can Delta Dental will actually pay for those additional benefits. So it's pretty exciting. And Dr. Hamlin, I mean, I bet you never thought that dental insurance could be so exciting.
Absolutely not. But it is a new day where benefits and their ability to transform healthcare around us are more important than ever.
And people have no idea why we're so passionate about oral health. And let me just remind people, when Dr. Randy Tillman was on it, and it's very frustrating for me personally, but the number one disease of children in our state is actually oral health related. The number after the common cold, the number, and I know this from my work with the State Board of Education, the number one reason for lost school days relates to oral health. And then from an employer's perspective, those of you that are responsible for employees at if you're an HR person at an employer or the CEO, again, after the common cold, the number one reason for lost work days also relates to oral health. And of course, you know, David and I are here nodding because we know with fluoridated water, with access to dentists, with brushing and flossing, you know, in between visits is, to some extent, you know, no excuse for or health issues. I have four kids. None of them have cavities. You know, they grew up with access to fluoridated water and brushing and flossing and going to the dentist. So it's definitely, unlike some medical conditions, it's solvable, which is why, you know, that example that David cited of the poor young woman, age 40, who had all of her teeth removed, it's really unnecessary. So let's circle back now to the dry mouth syndrome. So what exactly does the paucity or lack of saliva do to my mouth?
Well, because it is an essential fluid, saliva will help with every function that you could think your mouth will do, from eating, speaking, resting. You can't chew food correctly if you don't have moisture. Try eating a cracker after running a race.
And impossible.
Without drinking water or having a fluid in your mouth, it just can't be done. Reduced saliva, when we start seeing the syndrome, we see some changes in the saliva itself. It becomes really thick and ropey. And you can imagine, again, if you're going to be speaking at a public event, and you can get that sudden dryness that occurs.
Is that what happened to Marco Rubio?
He dried up.
Right, he dried up. And Trump never let him forget it, right?
If you imagine every one of us wakes up at one point or another with a dry mouth, we all do because it's a function of how the salivary systems work. Without mechanical and chemical stimulation, the glands do not produce as much. And so we all have that feeling in the morning from the research that I've done and the research that I've seen. Between taste, the function of chewing, the breaking down of starches into sugars through the amylase enzyme system, buffering against the demineralization of teeth, this is a fluid we cannot do without. And unfortunately, as we were saying, we can avoid and prevent many disease processes in oral health. Here's the one that I really worry about is that someone who is unremarkable from the standpoint of their oral history for an entire life may at 60 or 65 years old be put on certain medications for medical conditions and unbeknownst to them doing harm on the side effects to their mouth to the point when they walk into the dental office next, the hygienist team and the dentist may note that there's a demineralization that's occurred and caries that have set up decay at the root line across many teeth.
And this is because they were starting to take prescription drugs for something else.
Yes.
They've had a good oral health their whole life, and all of a sudden, because of some other conditioning, they're taking drugs. Next thing you know, they show up 6 months later at the dentist, and they have rotting teeth or gums or whatever.
Wow. Absolutely. And here's – please don't take that you shouldn't take your drugs. I mean, we need to take the drugs we need to fulfill our life's, you know, outcomes and potentials. However, it underscores the need to go to the dentist on a regular basis per provisor's opportunity to provide what's needed to the individual rather than to a group. We need to, you know, use those resources. Unknown to the individual, these changes can happen rapidly. And when we're in our older age, and by the way, this is not a disease process or a syndrome that affects just the old, affects young and old. And I could imagine a 20-year-old who has been put on an antipsychotic medication for mental health reasons, and they're not really as capable, even under therapy, of understanding changes that are happening, like the mouth. And all of a sudden, they're continuing their use of sugar-based drinks, and unbeknownst to them, they have decay at the gum line and maybe not the resources to take care of that.
So this really speaks to regular and frequent visits to the dentist. This is so informative today. Now, of course, everybody that listens to me in the public, I know that I end every speech, regardless of what the topic is, that that you can't have good overall health without good oral health, or that the mouth is part of the body. So how does dry mouth potentially affect the rest of the body?
If we are not breaking down starches correctly into sugars, we can't process our food. If we're not chewing food through, we cannot get the nutritional background that we need. If we do not use our common sense about dealing with that, besides the pain and discomfort that's caused by this, we start avoiding things, avoiding contact with other people because we're not, comfortable with speaking. Pain drives us to use narcotics. Unfortunately, that has its own problem, including enhancing the dry mouth also. So it's a never-ending cycle of once you go down an unhealthy pathway, there are many consequences.
Yeah, you have bad breath, the social part of it, and then it all feeds into other issues. So if now we've determined that I have dry mouth and I have and all of our dentists would recognize it, what can be done about dry mouth?
Well, there are active therapies, but let's start with the beginning. Most dry mouth is caused by medications, the side effects. So alerting your medical team to this feeling that you have and the information your dentist and hygienist have provided to try to find drug combinations that are not as potential. For instance, the number one drug causing dry mouth in this there's over 400 to 600, depends on who you speak to, that have this potential. Paxil is the number one drug causing dry mouth at this point in terms of the number of scripts written. It's not the only one, so that's not a condemnation of Paxil. So bring it to your medical team's attention. See if they can adapt your dosing schedule to not have you have as much drug on board overnights, to cut dosages wherever possible to titrate down to the effective therapy dose. On the dental side, we can varnish your teeth with fluoride on a monthly to quarterly basis to protect those tooth surfaces that are more at risk. On the palate, and we really do definitely want to make sure that you have a clean mouth throughout your day and your evening. So there are choices you can make for the use of oral health products that will help you in dry mouth. Number one, avoid certain things. My recommendation in my treatment of over hundreds of patients that had this condition is to stay away from SLS, which is sodium lauryl sulfate. It's a foaming agent found in most toothpastes and most other personal care products. Of course, we're not using those in the mouth, but it's a common product. There are products that are non-SLS and safe and effective for use. We also want to stay away from essential oils in mouthwashes because they will burn. They will feel burny when you take them into your mouth. We can use certain products that are in the marketplace to help with severe cases. There are pharmacological systemic drugs like sevelamine and pilocarpine, but the side effects are themselves somewhat off-putting, causing a lot of sweating, a lot of urinary urgency. So we really don't want to use those until last resort.
So it sounds like a coordinated approach. I mean, in other words, both the dentist and your medical team have to almost like coordinate an approach to make this work. Because obviously, if I'm taking drugs for a medical condition, like you said, I have to continue to take that. So I'm assuming here again, that's where the dentist and the medical team really that needs to be a coordinated approach.
Absolutely. And the patient themselves needs to be the conduit between those information flows. So unfortunately, with most patients suffering, they tend to accommodate the disease and the syndrome rather than dealing with it front and forward. So just drinking water may be their relief. However, my research has shown that that may be deleterious in its own effect, because we wash away mucins and protective coatings that the saliva provides around the mouth. And in essence, what we do is we end up becoming a water junkie, where we're just continuously drinking, which unfortunately increases the urge to have to go to and urinate. And, you know, that might not be a most comfortable
life. Well, you start taking a drug for your prostate and then you have other issues. Right. You know, we've just really begun to touch on this because I know we're running out of time. So we have some other things I wanted to get to, but maybe next time, Dave, we'll have you on. But I know that there are potentially some drug treatments that work for dry mouth. But then again, you have to be careful about that. And as you said, you know, total water consumption isn't necessarily the answer as well. So would you join me upcoming to handle the rest of these questions? Because I'm sure we've stimulated a lot of questions.
Absolutely. We'd be delighted to.
Wow. We are so fortunate right here in New Hampshire of Dr. David Hamlin. David, thank you for coming in and putting up with me for the weekend and as well as during the week. And we'll have you on again.
Thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate it.
Tom Raffi will return next week with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.